All right, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Talk. This is Micah, and we hijacked the podcast again. And today I have our resident game expert, D. Scott Stedman. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, man.
You excited that we're doing more game content?
I know. I keep getting on Jordan for years, and all he wants to do is talk about Marvel and Pokemon. It's like, dude, the nerd culture is so big and so wide.
Do you notice the trend here, though, while we're doing these video game podcasts? Like, he's not here.
Exactly.
He's probably still sleeping.
He's still sleeping, or they don't play video games in Oklahoma.
I think he has a PS4. He just doesn't play it.
Well, he doesn't. He's probably still in storage. Because I even said, like, oh, man, Spider-Man 2 game's really good. And he's like, oh, yeah.
He's busy playing Pokemon on a Switch or Minecraft on a Switch.
Speaking of Switches, you see that they talked about the new Pokemon game?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a Pokemon announcement there. It's kind of like it's in the same style of the Pokemon Arceus, but it's called Pokemon ZA.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, today we're going to – a couple of months ago, back we did like a top 10 episode of like our top 10 Super Nintendo games, and I reached out to Scott and I wanted to do the same thing but with the NES, the 8-bit console, and kind of have our top 10 list of from our earliest memory of video games. Like, I think I played the Atari a little bit, but my earliest memory of video gaming was probably the NES. And so we kind of wanted to do the same thing and put a list together of our top 10 games for the NES console. But before we do that, Scott had the great idea of kind of talking through what games we're playing now. What consoles are we playing now? What are we playing now? And so, Scott, I'm going to open up the floor. And I know you play a huge variety, and I know you're streaming on Twitch and doing these things, but like, what are you playing these days?
So there's actually three games that I'm currently involved in playing now. First game is on the Nintendo Switch. I'm playing the new Mario vs. Donkey Kong game.
So have that's you played pretty Wonder fun. Yet? I don't know if I've asked you that.
I have played Wonder. Yes.
Have you beat that game?
No.
Okay.
Because usually my son likes to play on the Switch, so sometimes it's always a battle. And sometimes he'll tell me, Daddy, can you please not get on because he doesn't want to lose his content when I switch over to my profile? Yeah. And he loses, especially if he hasn't saved yet. He's just in sleep mode. And I understand that because he's done that to me, and I've been very upset, especially when I haven't had an opportunity to save. I'm like, dude, why? But so I've been playing that. That's been fun. I've also been playing Persona 5 Royal. Kind of going back to that. It's a game I started a couple years ago, never finished. So I'm kind of going back and actually want to try to finish that game. And then recently, for my birthday, I ended up getting the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is kind of the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake. So I've been playing that on the PS5, and also Persona 5 Royale I've been playing on the PS5 too. So those are the three games I've been playing right now. When I actually have time to play. It's been a busy season, a busy February, and it's hopefully start to slow. And it's going to, eight with Easter being March, it's going to be a busy month as well.
Yeah, I finished my master's in January, and I finally realized how much more time I have with video games. So
yeah,
it really just depends on the day what I'm playing. Before we hit record, I've been in this huge rabbit trail of Super Mario ROM hacks, and I don't know, Scott, do you play any of those, or have you played those? Okay. Yeah. So what a Mario ROM hack is they basically take the game Super Mario World, for example, or Super Mario Brothers 3, and they take that game and that concept, but they make new, advanced, and harder levels. And so there's this whole community online. I think it's called smwcentral.net, and there's hundreds of hacks. And basically what you do is you have an emulator. Scott, you can talk about emulators if you want, but like, emulators is basically just a way to play a game on a PC. And so it basically bypasses the system, whether you're playing an NES game or a Super NES game, whatever. And so these Kaizo Mario hacks are extremely difficult, and but they make them from every level, like, right, from beginner through, you know, advanced. And so one of the big ones that was super popular over the last couple of months has been Grand Poo World 3. So basically you take Super Mario World, but you make it extremely difficult. But the worlds are really, really cool. So they take music from like Sonic the Hedgehog, and they take music from like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they take music from like the original Mario games, and they kind of redo the levels. The background of the games are really, really cool. And so to give you an example, I've played Grand Prix World 3 just a couple of times. I can't even beat the first level. It's so hard. So I've been playing some of those, but more on the beginner level. There's one game I've been playing a lot. It's called Of Jumps and Platforms, and it's a Super Mario ROM hack, and it's like 8 levels. And so some of them are 8 levels, some of them are 20, some of them are 40. It just depends on the game. Another one I just started playing was Fresh Hops. And so basically it's a Super Mario ROM hack, but you're playing as Princess Toadette.
Okay.
I think it's Princess Toadette. And basically you beat the game, and it's like Super Mario World, but it's completely different. Recently I have an Xbox One, and it kind of just sat downstairs in our living room for over a year, and I hadn't played it at all. So I hooked it up recently, and I'm going through, and I've been playing some Madden, some NHL Stanley Cup. I'm going to buy the new WWE 2K24 game in a couple weeks when the expansion pack comes out. I also have a Switch, and I run, you know, I kind of go back and forth between Super Mario World and Super Mario Brothers 3, and just kind of play those and just continue to beat those even to this day, because I just enjoy those games. I also have NBA 2K, and I've been playing that a lot. And then finally, you opened up a huge can of worms, this whole video game conversation, Scott. But we were talking about DK Oldies, which is a website online that sells retro games and consoles and things. I bought a PS2 a year and a half or so ago, and bought some of my favorite games for that console. And so I've been playing a lot of college football, like NCAA 2008, 2007, something like that. Playing some Madden 2007, 2008, something like that. And then there was a, did you ever play SmackDown? Here Comes the Pain?
That was years ago.
That's one of my favorite, was one of my favorite games for PS2. And then, of course, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Like, I have all those on the PS2. And then Star Wars Battlefront 2. So I kind of went through this whole, like, dive of my teenage years. And, you know, have revisited and replayed. And surprisingly enough, some of those games hold up even to this day. So, those are kind of what I'm playing. I'm so glad that you and Jordan convinced me to get a Switch, though, because, like, it's just nice to have it, you know, close. I bought Super Mario Wonder. I've beat a little bit of it. I haven't beat the whole game, though. I haven't bought anything else recently. So, anyway, like I said, we're going to talk about our top 10 NES games. And do you want to go 10 to 1?
Yeah, let's go down from 10 to 1.
Okay, and we'll just go back and forth. I remember when we did the SNES conversation, Scott, you had some super random games that I had just either not heard of or hadn't played in a long time. So you said that are there some different picks for this one? Or
I think so. Actually, I had to go through my list because I actually had one game on here twice, so I needed to adjust it.
Was it so good that it had to be there twice?
I think so. It's just a very unique experience playing that game. And I'm also kind of in the hunt of rebuilding my NES collection.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because you had talked about that before we started recording, but you had mentioned.
So I'll try not to take too much time, but basically when I got my Super Nintendo, my family sat me down and had to say, hey, now that you have a Super Nintendo, will you be willing to get rid of your NES? Because my family knew of a family that was had financial troubles and they wanted to get their son a gaming system. They couldn't afford it. So I said, yeah. So we ended up giving this kid my NES, all my games, everything. So, and you know, and it was funny because then I would always tell my mom, like, you know, and my mom always used to think I was making fun of it. Like, oh yeah, you had to get rid of your system, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I mean, I was glad I was able to help the kid out. Cause in reality, I don't know how much I would have actually played my NES when I had a Super Nintendo. Cause I was just immersed in that. Same thing. Like once I got my 64, I barely played my Super Nintendo. And I think that's just kind of how it is. And even, but then this last Christmas, my parents got me an NES with a couple games. So now that I have that, it's like, okay, let me see if I can find some of the games I used to own and try to like recreate the collection I had when I was a kid. So I'm not doing like a full, like, oh, I'm going to buy every, like, all 800 NES games or anything crazy like that. I'm just like, I just want to recreate the games that I used to own and play and maybe add in a couple games I enjoyed playing that I didn't own. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I haven't really started on that venture yet. There's just been, had a car repair last month, my birthday this month. I bought a guitar for my birthday because my other guitar was starting to break. So, you know, I haven't really dived into it yet. And thankfully, Record Store Day on April doesn't seem to have any records that I want. So I can probably use some of that money I would spend on records on NES games. Just don't tell my wife this.
I mean, maybe she'll listen to this podcast and hear it. But
my wife is too busy listening to like Boy Meets World podcast and Gilmore Girls podcast, so she probably won't listen.
Yeah, I listen to the Boy Meets World podcast.
It's a good one. I do like it. Or I've done the one where it's like Zach Morris or I'm sorry, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and he goes through and they watch each episode of Saved by the Bell, and he kind of talks about his experience on that show. That's a good one too.
By the way, I think he and you share a birthday.
I think we do too. Me and Jessica Biel also share a birthday too.
But if you want to feel really old, Zach Morris turned 50 yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I have a similar story. The first console that we owned was Super NES, but then my mom had extra money one year from like a Christmas bonus, and she ended up getting us an NES console too. And I thought it was so cool that we had both. And, I think that there's been this whole resurgence really of some of these classic consoles. And I would love to have the actual console. I know a couple of years back they did the NES Classic where they had like a smaller version of that. I have the SNES Classic. But the NES Classic was harder to find. So, but like, if you go to like a website like DK Oldies or whatever, you can actually buy a bundle where they have, I don't know, the NES, two controllers, Mario 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they've converted the console to HDMI, so you can actually plug it into your TV today. I don't know, for like $150, $200, something like that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, let's jump into the list. We'll go 10 to 1. And Scott, you want to kick us off?
Yep. So my number 10 is Super Mario Brothers 1. I know you're going to be so disappointed, but I mean, there's a lot of other games that I liked. Well, here's the thing. Super Mario Brothers 1 was like a really great game. I enjoyed playing it. And it still holds up. Like I could still play Super Mario Brothers 1, or I could have my son play Super Mario Brothers 1 and still find a lot of enjoyment out of that game. But I feel like if I had to compare all, I mean, again, the NES had like almost 900 games on that system, and to narrow 900 games to 10, and especially ones that I played, and I mean, I played a lot of NES games. I was at Blockbuster probably every weekend renting games. So what's Blockbuster? But there's, you know, there's a lot of great games out there. So, you know, for me it was just very hard, but I had to make that number 10 because I feel like some of the other games on there I've had a lot more experiences with. And I especially there's another Mario game on my list that definitely ranks a little bit higher, which we probably know what that is since we talked about it recently on this podcast.
It's Mario 2, isn't it?
Mario 2 did not make my list. Spoiler alert, it did not make my list.
Didn't make my list either. Speaking of Mario, number 10 on mine is Dr. Mario.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It was just so different. And it was kind of like Tetris, but it wasn't. And
I almost feel like I liked Dr. Mario more than I liked Tetris.
Really?
Especially when you got to the harder levels, because then you know, with Tetris, all it does is it just moves fast and you just have to move the blocks and flip them real quick. Where Dr. Mario, not only is it moving fast, but you also have to like plan your colors out right so that if you destroy one virus, hoping the drops and so the other ones can destroy another virus underneath. So, you know, I feel like there's a lot more strategy in trying to think things out before you actually try to make your move to eliminate the viruses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's number nine on your list? Okay, go ahead.
Both Super Mario Brothers and Dr. Mario, you can play on the Nintendo Switch online. So if you're hearing these games, you're like, oh, how can I play this game? If you have a Switch, you can play it. If you have a Switch online account, you can play these games for free. Or you could do the emulation and ROMs and do it that way too. I'm not going to tell you where you could get them because that's against the law, I guess. So, but at least those two games you can actually play on the Nintendo.
Actually, Switch. As long as you own a copy of those games, you can. That's the whole thing.
When I used to do emulation and ROMs, I remember when I first read into it, it was like you had to have a copy, or if you want to play a game, you had 24 hours that you could play that game, but then you technically have to delete it off your computer. Because in case if the FBI decide to bust into your house and check your computer, you have to at least show proof that you have a copy of that game.
Well, that's how I think they get away with the whole Super Mario ROM hacks, which I was talking about earlier. If I have a Super Mario physical copy, Super Mario World physical copy, all of the games that are ROM hacks look like Super Mario World. And it's basically they're just replacing the levels with the game, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so... I probably have two copies of Super Mario World like laying around my house somewhere. So I think I have the Super Mario World and Super Mario All-Stars cartridge as well as just the Super Mario World cartridge. Yeah. So I think I'm okay.
All right. Yeah. So number nine for me is Castlevania II Simon's Quest.
Interesting.
I like that game because I know a lot of people hate this game because there's that part in the game where it always switches between day and night. So you could just be progressing through a level and all of a sudden the game freezes and it goes, what a horrible night for a curse. And then it changes. And then when it becomes night, the enemies get a little bit tougher. So you have, but what I liked about Castlevania 2 is that it's a side scroller game. But there also was some RPG elements. There's a lot of like hidden things to find. And it was probably one of the first Castlevania games I played because I played Castlevania and Castlevania 3. But Castlevania 2 is probably the one that I actually played through all the way and actually beat that game. So that's why that one's kind of on my top 10 list because I just really enjoyed the game so much of just liked how you could fight different enemies depending on if it was day or night. So it's almost like a better version of Zelda 2, except you didn't have that overworld map and you didn't have to like talk to random NPCs that really didn't give you any information. But yeah, Castlevania 2 is number nine for me. And unfortunately you cannot play that on the Switch online.
You'd have a physical copy.
A physical copy.
Do you have a physical copy of that game?
No, I do not. So that's one of the ones that I'm hunting for.
For your collection.
For my collection is one of the ones I'm hunting for, yep.
Number nine for me is Pro Wrestling.
Ooh, for the NES Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had what was it, the Amazon? That was always my character, my go-to character in Starman, the Amazon.
Which, oh, man. It's funny because, like, I think once we get to the SNES, like, there's WWF have more games because you had Raw, you had like the
you had WrestleMania Challenge, you had Still Pay.
Yeah, there were some games and they actually had like actual WWF rosters where they had actual wrestlers. Like, I remember playing Raw a lot on the Super NES, and it was like, you could be Bret Hart or Lex Luger or The Undertaker or Yokozuna or Diesel or Shawn Michaels or whatever, right? And so with pro wrestling, it's pro wrestling in the sense of it is pro wrestling, but it's not the characters that we know and love that we grew up with, per se. Considering some of the wrestling games I play now, that's super cringy, but it's cool to go back and play it and just see the difference.
And ironically enough, when I got my NES for Christmas and they bought like a bunch of games that came with it, pro wrestling was one of the games that was in there. So I actually own a copy of that game.
There you go. I think we're up to number 8.
All right. My number 8 is Double Dragon 2 The Revenge.
See, you are picking some random games that I wouldn't have thought of.
But Double Dragon, they made 3 Double Dragon games on the NES. They're like, it was like the first beat 'em up before like Final Fight. Like Final Fight's probably the more popular one, or Streets of Rage if you're a Sega person. But yeah, Double Dragon was like that game. And what I liked about Double Dragon 2 The Revenge is you could do like a windmill kick, and then when you did that, it like totally like dissolved your enemies real quick. But it was kind of tricky to pull off on the NES controllers. But I love that game. It was one of those games. Like, I played Double Dragon 1, 2, and 3, but could never beat 1 without using a Game Genie. Couldn't beat 3. But Double Dragon 2 was the one that I could beat without a Game Genie.
You should tell people what a Game Genie is.
So a Game Genie was this little thing that you put your NES cartridge in, and you would put it in there, and you put these like codes in there, and you can have like infinite lives, infinite continues, lose no health, invisibility. So it's a way you can kind of like use cheats in the game, unless you play like a Konami game and you could do like the Konami code and get like, you know, 30 lives in Contra. But that was a way that you could kind of manipulate some of the numbers within the ROM or within the cartridge to be able to get certain benefits to help you actually beat some of the harder games within the NES collection.
Yeah. What are we at? Number 8?
Still number 8. Yep.
I'm going to go with Excitebike. Classic NES game.
Classic NES game, and you could create your own level, which is...
I was also really bad at that game.
I think I've gotten to the point where I think I've gotten to like the 4th race, and then I would lose.
Well, it was difficult. It was really difficult for what it was.
It was, and you also had to time like your power boost, and if you can move and hit the arrows, and make sure you hit the jumps correctly, because that's a challenging part about the game, is you can hit those jumps, but depending on how you land, if you land a certain way, either it wreck you, it would slow you down, or if you hit it at a sweet spot, you'd still continue to keep your speed up, which I thought was always good. But especially when you had those like bunny levels, those were just hard to kind of maneuver through to kind of keep your speed. I always felt like I lost speed, especially in the later rounds where it's like you have a short amount of time to finish if you're going to continue on to the next level. And I never did. I always got stuck at like the 4th race. I'd always lose.
I played that recently because it's on the Switch Online catalog. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I'm still bad at this 20 years later.
Yeah. Goodness. All right. So number 7 is probably one you've never even heard of before. And this one is called Jackie Chan's Action Kung Fu. It's a game starring Jackie Chan. And it's a platformer. And you do karate and you fight these bosses. And it was put out by Hudson Soft, the same people who made the Adventure Island games. But man, I love that game. Like, I own that game. It was one of those games where it's like, no one really heard of this game. And I'm like, why? Because this game is so awesome. And I didn't even know who Jackie Chan was. Like, I didn't ever seen a Jackie Chan movie, so I'm like, oh, who is this guy? Like, thought it was just a character, but I didn't realize it was actually a real person until I saw, like, Rush Hour. I'm like, oh, Jackie Chan. Hey, that's the guy that was in that NES video game that I had. But, yeah, Jackie Chan Action Kung Fu. Not on the Nintendo Switch Online. You can't play it.
Well, the Nintendo Switch Online is pretty limited.
It is.
Like the catalog. Number 7 for me is Punch-Out.
That's another good one.
Classic. And then when we get to SNES, we get the Super Punch-Out. Like, this is kind of the precursor.
Now, did you play Punch-Out with Mr. Dream or Punch-Out with Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson. I was in a Half Price Books recently, and they had the NES cartridge for Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and it was like $65. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure that's probably a steal.
Well,
for $65.
We were in Half Price Books yesterday, and we saw a Master of Puppets Metallica cassette tape still in the plastic, never been opened, like collector's edition, and it was $100.
Yeah, goodness.
Yeah. I thought Punch-Out was great for, again, the time. And I think what was so great about the 8-bit games is that, yes, they were difficult, but in a sense, they weren't too difficult, but they, for the time, had the graphics and you had the ability in that early realm of gaming where it made it seem like you're doing the thing you want to do without... Yeah. Making it too difficult, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, actually, that's probably I'm looking online and that like Lukey Games and DK Oldies and both of them have Mike Tyson's Punch Out for about $60. So,
yeah, that's about right on.
Right on. Yeah. Wonderful. All right. So, number 6 is Battletoads.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
I mean, I've been playing
that's a new classic.
I've been playing the new Battletoads game that's on the Xbox One or the Xbox Series X. So me and my son have been playing. I'm like, man, Battletoads. And it seriously, like, I would play that game. And probably the level that everyone always died on was the racing game, like level 3. And I've gotten so good, I actually could beat that level and get to the next level, which was an ice stage. And I believe after that was the snake stage where you had to jump on all these snakes. And I'd always die on the snake stage because that one was so difficult. But man, like, I just thought, I mean, the music was great. And then even in that game, when you pause the game, it had that like cool like drum beat, like it was like even when you pause the game, you're still hearing like cool like beats and music. So that's why I really, if anything, I like Battletoads, not because it was difficult, but because I thought the gameplay was awesome. It was a cool beat 'em up. But the music was just banging. Like, every song on each level was super awesome in that game.
It's a good one.
And again, you cannot play that on the Nintendo Switch Online. Which hopefully they will, because they just released a rare game, Snake Rattle and Roll, and a bunch of other rare games on the Nintendo Switch Online. So hopefully Battletoads will be a future game they will add. And after that, you and me will get on Nintendo Switch Online. You and me will play Battletoads.
And you'll beat me.
Profusely. Oh, no, we'll probably just both die. I'll be like, Micah, hurry up. What are you doing? It's taking so long.
It's been so long since I played that. That's such a good game.
It is. It's a good game.
We talked about Dr. Mario earlier, but I had Tetris at number 6, like the classic Tetris. And I love the music in that game. And like, I don't know if it's just satisfying for me to just line the blocks up and beat it. And that's a game that's like, yes, it's challenging, but it's easy, and I think anybody can play it.
The funny thing is I never played Tetris on the NES. I always played it on my Game Boy. So, I mean, if we're doing a top 10 Game Boy game, Tetris would probably be on that list, because that's just one I've always played all the time, and I was taking it on the go with me. Yeah.
That's such a good game.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of those games that, like, not only, like, especially when I had my Game Boy, not only did I play, but my sister would want to play it. And then even sometimes, like, my mom or my dad would sit there and play it. Like, it was really a game that
everybody could play.
And I know on the NES you could do, like, two against each other. And I think one time there was a game on the Wii where you could – it was, like, a Tetris game, and you could do, like, four-player Tetris. And me, my sister, and my mom, and I think my niece would just sit there and just, like, battle each other in four-player Tetris. And then when Tetris 99 came out, Oh man, I love playing Tetris 99 just to see how far I can get against 99 other people playing that game.
I'm so but stuck on Battletoads. Battletoads is such a good game.
All right, number five, a game that's not on the Nintendo Switch Online because I don't know how you would play this game, but I have Duck Hunt.
Oh.
Duck Hunt. I played Duck Hunt probably, if there's any NES game that I played the most.
Really?
Duck Hunt. There was one time where I remember I sat in my room a Saturday and I did the clay pigeon portion on Duck Hunt. And I got all the way to level 99. I played it that much. I got to level 99 without missing one. And then it got to level 100, or it was double zero. And it was weird because then the disc would just go very slow and then they would drop off. So you had to shoot them right at the screen. I missed one and then the game was over. And it's like, there's no way I would ever be able to do that again. And I don't know why it went slow. I guess the person who kept shooting the disc was just tired of throwing the disc after 100 rounds of it. But yeah, but Duck Hunt was, and then especially playing with the ducks. And then anytime you missed a duck, you'd shoot that dog laughing at you. It never hurt the dog, but I always enjoyed just shooting the dog anyway. And but yeah, Duck Hunt, number five for me.
Well, I think for mine, my number five, I wrestled with this one because it's a classic and it could easily be number one depending on the day. But I'm going to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The first one or the arcade game or the Manhattan Project?
The first one.
And I have that one. That came as a Christmas gift too. I got that one. I'm like, for my NES.
I saw a meme a couple of weeks ago and it said, if you can beat this game, talk to me about playing video games or something like that. And it was the cover or the NES cartridge of this game because it was so good, but it was also very difficult.
Well, the funny thing is I've seen like Angry Video Game Nerd, I think, play it. But then one of the things I've seen people who, and I think this is the beauty about the world we live in, where we can watch people play these old games and you learn these strategies and you're just like, oh my gosh. Like there's a bit in the Angry Video Game Nerd where there's a scene where there's like this little tiny gap to get to this door to get out to somewhere. And if you try to jump it, you just fall down the hole. And then you have to go back on and fight these difficult enemies that keep respawning. And then one time, he just like walked over it. Just like didn't even jump, just walked over it and actually made it. And he's like, you mean I could have just walked over this thing? So it's funny because like how many times have I died because I tried to jump over this little gap and couldn't? And then the other thing, the underwater thing, I've seen people play that game and they will swim. And then eventually when the life of their turtle got low, they would switch to a different turtle. I never did that. I always took the one turtle and tried to go through. And then when it died, I had to start all over again with another turtle. Like, oh, I forgot I could switch turtles in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. And it made that level so much easier that I could do that now. And I felt so stupid after all these years that I could have just did that.
That one's not on the Switch Online either, but however, I think it comes with the four-pack or the multi-pack that you told me to buy a couple months back where you can get all the games.
The Ninja Turtle collection. You can get all that game, Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, the NES version, and the arcade version, the Manhattan Project, all the games that were on. I think you can have all the versions of Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, NES, Super NES, Sega Genesis, and arcade.
That was $40.
Like, yeah, and all these Ninja Turtles in Time.
That was my favorite Super Nintendo game.
I just found out that the new Turtle games, that the new Ninja Turtles game that's in the arcade that they've had for a couple years, they're now making that game into a console game. So you can now play that one, the most recent like Ninja Turtle beat 'em up that you can only play in like movie theaters and arcades. You're going to now play on your consoles. I think it's coming out this year, too. Yeah, good pick. All right.
Just a solid game.
Yeah, it is. Number four, I have Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest. And why this game, it's the very first RPG I ever played. And it was a game I got for free Because years ago, McDonald's was doing a promotion where if I bought a Nintendo Power membership, a one-year membership, which was 12 magazines for, I think at that time, it was $20, $25, you got Dragon Warrior for free. And that was your promotion. So it's like, yeah, I'll pay $20 to get a free game that's usually $50. Didn't even know what Dragon Warriors won, but the box art looked cool. So got that game, played. It was a role-playing game. And I still play like the Dragon Quest series to this day. Like, it's so good. And actually, Dragon Warrior was one of the few games that me and my dad would always play. Like, he had a save file, I had a save file, and we'd go back and forth and we'd play this game. So my dad and my parents didn't really play much video games with me growing up, but Dragon Warrior was one that me and my dad would pay, and we would talk strategy because he'd get farther and then I get farther. I say, well, here's how I did this. And that's how we were able to beat the game, because we both had different ticks and strategies of what we were able to do to, you know, fight the final boss. So again, not on Switch Online, but a good, decent RPG.
Awesome. Number four for me is Tecmo Bowl.
That's a good one too.
And I can still hear the quarterback in my head. Until you actually snap the ball. These kids today that are playing Madden and stuff and that are really good at it, I would challenge them to go back and play that game.
Oh man.
Because you could be driving down the field and get ready to score a touchdown and throw a pick and they would just score a touchdown. And it's like, ah.
Now, is Tecmo Bowl on the Switch, Nintendo Switch Online?
It is.
That's what I thought. Because I know I bought it like when you could buy games through the Wii U and the Wii. Mm-hmm. Like, I bought that game, but I couldn't.
Yeah, I played it recently.
Dude, that's a game you and me could probably play together. Two-player Switch Online, Tecmo Bowl.
There it is.
There it is. Right there. Oh, man. Wonderful. All right. Yeah, good pick. So my number three is Star Tropics. And you can play this on the Switch Online too. So Star Tropics is like the first, because a lot of role-playing games always come from the East, from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior, all those games come from the West. Star Tropics was like the first game that was like the Eastern role-playing game. It starred a guy named Mike Jones who went to a tropical island to go find his uncle, and his uncle was kidnapped by aliens. And you go around and you go fight. So it's kind of an RPG, but all your levels are very much like kind of like that Legend of Zelda dungeon crawling style. But you're equipped with a yo-yo, so you're fighting aliens with a yo-yo. But the cool thing about this game, and I don't know why, because I didn't really think game piracy was a thing, but they had an element of game piracy in this game. Because when you got your instruction manual, there was a letter in there, a folded up letter from your uncle telling you, oh, hey, please come, blah, blah, blah. Well, then there's halfway through the game, there's this robot that's with you that says, hey, before we can continue, you need to put in this code, this frequency to be able to contact your uncle. And then it says, it should be in the letter that he gave to you if you dip it in water. And sure enough, if you take that letter and you pour water over it, a code will appear. And you have to type that code, and that's how you can continue on to play the game. And the funny thing is when I got rid of my NES, this family started playing it, and they got to that part. And again, I've dipped that letter in water so many times, it just dissolved, so they didn't have that. So they're calling me and go, what is the passcode to this game? And I said, oh, that's easy. It's 747. And the funny thing is I played that again on the Nintendo Switch Online. And again, there's no instruction manual, so you don't know what the code is. But I still knew it. I didn't have to look it up online. But the cool thing is if you bought the game on the Wii, when they had their back catalog, they had an instruction manual. They had this point where you could virtually like dip your thing, like you take the Wii remote and you act like you dip the letter in water and pull up and it'll reveal the code, which I thought was really cool that they did that when you bought the Wii version of that game. But yeah, Star Tropics, fun little adventure role-playing game.
I don't know that I've heard of that one.
It's, they even made a sequel, Star Tropics 2, Zoda's Revenge.
Of course they did.
Which I never played Star Tropics 2, but I've always played Star Tropics 1. And I think the weird thing is Mike Jones would always put bananas in his ears. I have no clue why he put bananas in his ears, but there's like a picture of him with bananas in his ears. Like, what the heck? But there you go. I don't know why, but it was a thing.
Oh.
What's your number three, Micah? Does it involve bananas?
I think I need to Photoshop a picture of Scott with a banana coming out of each side of his ear.
Oh my gosh, please don't.
So you mentioned it earlier, kind of a combination. For three, I have Super Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt.
Ooh, you did the combo?
Yeah, I thought it was just, that was one of my earliest memories. And like, you're a little bit older than I am, but like, some of my earliest memories of playing the NES, you had the cartridge that had Super Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt on the same cartridge. Mm-hmm. And it was just so cool and revolutionary at the time to have two games in one, and you could play Mario or Duck Hunt. And you didn't even talk about the gun earlier, Scott, the gun that you had to plug into the console. Like, it was orange. Was it? Well, there was a gray one too, but the orange one was really cool looking. And I still play Super Mario Bros. Just to run it and try to do speed runs even to this day. I can get it right around 8 minutes. I can beat the game. The world record is under five. Mm. But really enjoyed Super Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt. So that was my number three.
All right.
I bet you our number one is the same.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Wrong with my number two. My number two is Super Mario Brothers 3.
Well, you just shattered that thought.
I knew I was going to make a disappointment, but no, it was
Super Mario. I could guess your number one then.
I'm sure you could. It's not that hard to guess, but no, Super Mario Brothers 3 is, I mean, we talked about it already on this show in length. It's just a solid platformer game that still holds up the test of time. Still good. Still enjoy playing it after all these years. It's just a great game, period.
Do you like playing the original from the NES, or do you like the remastered that they did with the SNES?
I play both.
Okay.
I think I'd be
once in a I while I'll like, play the one on the NES because they're on both catalogs, on the NES and SNES on the Switch Online. Yeah.
I like both of them.
Yeah. Such an iconic game. The map, the tools, the abilities that Mario has throughout that entire game are just unmatched. And we did an episode on Super Mario 3, and I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was like, we didn't even talk about, we talk like, there are certain elements that are in Super Mario World that aren't in Super Mario 3, and there are stuff that's in Super Mario 3 that aren't in Super Mario World. And so, like, I think about things like Yoshi and the cape, which were in Super Mario World, but you can fly in Super Mario 3, but you have the raccoon tail, but you don't have Yoshi. So, like, there are various things that just make, you know, Super Mario 3 levels above the others. So, anyway... That was your number two?
That's my number two. And you can play that on Switch Online.
Yes. He's plugging the Switch Online today, folks.
Well, people are listening to it, and they're like, oh, how do I play that game? Well, here's how you can play some of these games. I mean, besides emulation and ROMs. But I'm trying to talk about the legal ways you can play these games.
Number two... Actually, you know what? I'm gonna make a switch. Number two for me is gonna be Super Mario 3.
My goodness, why?
I'm
shocked.
Well,
is that because Super Mario 2 is your number one?
No, the Lost Levels.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. Man. The real Super Mario 2.
Yeah.
Again, Super Mario 3 was just an iconic game, and I remember playing that as a young child and just being mesmerized with the map and the concept of, am I ever going to get to Bowser? Because it's so big. The map was so big. You have 8 different worlds. You can warp with the flute, the magic flute. You have all the different abilities to, you know, from a fire plant to the Tanuki suit to the frog suit to the hammer. What was the hammer suit called? Do you know? Off the top of your head?
I'm not sure.
Tanuki was the one where you could turn into a statue and you were like a full raccoon. And then you could be you could have the raccoon tail with the flower. So anyway, just so many different different elements, like the P-Wing, the cloud where you could skip a level, you could put the Hammer Brothers to sleep with the music box, the magic flutes, the frog suit, the Tanuki suit, the mushrooms, the fire plant. Like, if you couldn't beat the game, it was, I guess, for a lack of trying. So one of my favorite ways to beat that game is to save a P-Wing for the last castle for Bowser. And just P-Wing all the way to Bowser. And then, you know, beat him that way. So that's my number two, which I made a switcheroo to number one. So on the fly. But I have a good guess as to what your number one pick is.
All right. Well, my number one pick is a game you can play on the Switch Online, and that is The Legend of Zelda.
If I would have gambled, I would have won.
Not that hard, but yeah. Zelda, I mean, before I even had an NES, the very first game I ever played on the NES, before I actually had one, was The Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And
why is that number one for you?
It's just, I mean, I think it just still holds up. You have so much variety of different levels, so it doesn't feel like you're just constantly repeating. Because sometimes, like with especially with 8-bit games, sometimes to make the game long, there's just a lot of repetition. But the fact that you had a good use of different enemies, different dungeon maps. But then the cool thing is if you beat the game and you started the second quest, everything changes. So your world one, your first dungeon's not in the same place. It's in a different place. So it's a whole different challenge of trying to figure out what you need to do. And I don't think I've ever been able to beat the second quest. I've only been able to beat the first quest, and the second quest I just can't beat because I always get stuck at a certain point. Like after the third dungeon, I get stuck. I don't know where I need to go, and that's it. So that's why. And plus, besides like Mario, like Zelda's probably the other big franchise that kind of put Nintendo on the map. I mean, They made the Mario cartoon, they made a Zelda cartoon. They made a Mario movie recently. I've heard that they're going to be making a Zelda movie pretty soon. It will be cool. And then I also just think about like anytime you have like a great game like Super Mario World, you have Legend of Zelda Link to the Past. You have a great game like Mario 64. You have the Ortica of Time. You know, you have something like Mario Sunshine. You now have Wind Waker. So there's just been a lot of
this parallel journey of Mario and Zelda.
Yeah, it's like anytime when there's a banger of a Mario game, there's always a banger of a Zelda game. And now you had not only Super Mario Wonder, but then you also had Super Mario Odyssey. And there's a lot of other good Mario games on the Switch. But then you have Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, which are both phenomenal Zelda games. So,
hot take, and probably an unpopular opinion, I never really got into Zelda.
Yeah.
And it's not like...
missing out.
Well, and it's nothing personal. I just have tried to play those over the years, and I just can't. It's more strategy than anything, and I just have never been into that style of game. So I've tried numerous times to play Zelda and just never got into it. So That's your number one. I mean, I would have been rich had I guessed on that, because I know you like Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
So you've guessed wrong twice on my number one pick.
Mm. See, I would have guessed Mario 3, but you did switcheroony on me.
I did. So my number one is up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start, Contra.
Contra. Mm. That's,
and
that's
for those that don't know what up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start means, it meant it was a secret code at the beginning of Contra that you could put in to get unlimited ammo and unlimited lives. So you could beat the game in like 15 minutes. So did you play a lot of Contra?
I did. I did play a lot of Contra.
And for those who don't know what Contra was, it's basically just a shooting game where you were like in the military and you went in and you just shot all these enemies. And
at first you're fighting like enemy soldiers, but then you eventually start fighting like aliens
and robots and all this stuff.
And yeah. Robots and everything else. Yeah.
So Contra's my number one.
That's a good list.
Do you have any other random NES games that you can think of that wouldn't have been on your list that you could have added?
Oh, there's probably a plenty of games that I've took off my list that I took Final Fantasy off my list, but because I'm a big Final Fantasy game, but the first Final Fantasy game I ever played was Final Fantasy 6 or Final Fantasy 3 on the Super Nintendo. So for me, it's like, well, it's a good game. I played the first Final Fantasy, but it doesn't make my top 10 because I don't have like the nostalgia for it because I never played it. You know, there's other games like Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Mm.
That one was a good one. Or like I remember playing Yo Noid, which was that mascot from Domino's. But man, that platformer game for that game was just amazing. Like it was such a good platformer. It had so many fun. He had a pizza eating contest. Trying to think of other games I played. I mean, you know, things like you've mentioned on your list, Excitebike, Tecmo Bowl, Blades of Steel, probably one of the best hockey games I've ever played. It's such a good hockey game. But yeah.
Good lists, both sides.
Yep.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. I think we should do an N64 one next.
That'd be good because I wasn't a Sega person. So if you said, hey, let's do Genesis, I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can even name 10 games off the top of my head for Genesis.
I felt like in the 90s, Sega had more systems than they did games.
I feel like they had a lot of games, but it depends. But that's a thing. I think that's always the thing
I was being sarcastic because you had the Genesis, you had the Game Gear, you had the Sega CD, you had the Sega Saturn,
you had the Master System. There were so many different
games.
And I think the thing with Sega is if you try to think of any other big games that Sega that was on the Genesis that wasn't on the Super Nintendo besides Sonic, you would have a hard time trying to find some of those games. I mean, I know like if you talk about Mortal Kombat, I mean, you play Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo, no blood, nothing. But you can play on Genesis. You have blood and fatalities and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, there's like a lot of things with censorship and stuff that Genesis in some way didn't really care too much about, where Nintendo's very cautious about their brand. So that's always an interesting take too with the Genesis. But yeah, like if you said name 10 Genesis games, Sonic, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Sonic and Knuckles, like there's four of them right now.
Well, I also think, too, that, like, even though the N64 had such a small catalog, they had a pretty solid catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's another podcast for another day. So, Scott, thank you for being here. And for those of you that want to know more about Nerd Talk, we are on all major platforms, on Spotify, on Google Play, on Apple Music, and every other streaming software. We're on social media on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And we will catch you next time on The Nerd. Wait, what do you call it, Scott? House of the Nerd. Nerd Talk.
House of the Nerd.